switch to BT Superfast Fibre this Black Friday and pay absolutely nothing for the first 3 months, then £27.99 per month from month four. Plus, get your first 3 months of BT TV Entertainment half price, which includes Sky Channels with a Now Entertainment membership and a Netflix subscription, all for only £8 a month. Be quick. These offers end on the 2nd of December. Join BT today. 24-month contracts, 95% UK coverage, CPI plus 3.9% increase each March. Now membership RRP £9.99 per month. Netflix basic plan RRP £5.99 per month. Terms apply.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 Fang.
Welcome to the Johnny Vaughan 4 till 7 Fang podcast. Congratulations, you've made it through till Friday. You got through to this bit of the Global Player. Sorry, of Global Player. And now you've got a podcast. Dr. Sunder Templeton's here. Hi, Doc.
Hi.
Gavin Wood's here. Hi, Gav.
Hi.
Little Size here. Hi, Lit.
Hello,
Lit. And Big Size here as well. Right, coming up. Are you looking forward to this podcast?
Yeah, very much.
It's going to be a really good one this week. We've had loads of I think we've had lots of good stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Personally.
Sure.
Yep.
I've got the Cornish at their most mean-spirited, tight-fisted, tasteless best. Really, they really are. It is. It's the horrid county.
Right.
It really is.
Terrifying, really.
It really
what's
is.
What's going on down there?
I won't say what they put in county.
Who knows what's going on?
But there's four apparent letters that will become apparent. Plus, we investigate a throwaway line from Thang Gang News Girl, Sunder Templeton.
Uh-huh.
Plus, Thang Gang News Girl gave a throwaway line, and she really backed up and styled it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we sweep the leg of truth and enter the dojo of deceit for another hit of Bullshido. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 4 till 7 Fang podcast. Tread carefully.
Radio X.
I was walking through Leicester Square this evening, and not only as the German Christmas fair started.
Oh, yes,
fair,
the market, yeah, the market.
Well, no, it's not. It's just a sort of few sheds. It's like sheds, isn't it?
It is, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I actually, do you know, I kind of miss that really grotty fair that used to be there. Somehow they used to cram it into Leicester Square, didn't they? Like a whole massive fairground.
They didn't.
You have to be careful, though, because people's phones flew out of their pockets on those rides. Yeah.
What, did they have, like, proper rides
on? Yes,
them?
Yeah, all crammed in. And so you had, like the Helter Skelter in there. But the end of the Helter Skelter literally fed you onto the octopus.
Yeah. No way.
Literally.
There was a big wheel.
It was like a mousetrap.
Was there a waltzer on there? Please
yes,
tell me there was
a waltzer.
Waltzer.
Of course.
Was there?
Yeah, yeah. Gav, it was, I'm not kidding. It was like mousetrap. You could start. It, they could have done a fair where you start at one end and just work your way through the whole thing. And you
with one ticket.
Yeah, you might have had to stop to feel a bit of a nudge, like throw a thing at a golf fish, but now banned, now cancelled.
Wow.
But it was terrifying in there.
Yeah.
Man.
Really terrifying. They had like a wall of death at one point.
It was really tiny as well, like you say, because there was no space.
No.
It must have been like
a single file vibe going
like
on.
Like a cauldron of tourists whirring around in
duck
there.
And weave and do that sort of walk where like you sort of... It's a sort of limbo walk.
Yeah. You know, Matrix walking.
Yeah. It's like going through the Matrix. It really was. It was a puzzle in itself. Anyway, they've got this new German fair in there.
Yeah.
Last year, I was really excited when it came back because the year before I'd had that. They've got a smoked bacon flavoured sausage.
Oh, yes, I remember you mentioning
Bratwurst.
That. Yeah, yeah.
The Bratwurst. And I was so excited about it last year. Like, my God, the disappointment.
Really? Why?
Because it was rubbish, Gareth.
Oh, wasn't it the same thing?
And also... just buy a longer roll for it. No, why should I have like 8 inches of sausage at either end? You know, you can buy bread of all different dimensions. There's no need. Why are we acting like the sausage is not long?
The bread people should talk to the sausage people.
No, but also, I don't mind a little bit of jut.
Sure,
but a little bit of snag.
But hang on, imagine if it was the other way around and it was all bread and no sausage.
Well, it's not the other way around, Sunder.
Yeah,
so we don't have. I know, we don't have to imagine that horror. But
the overhang is the amuse-bouche before the main meal, isn't it?
Yeah, it is an amuse-bouche, Gav. But the point is, it's a 6-inch roll with a 1-foot sausage.
Yeah,
that's no good.
But no one
that's
likes
too
that.
Much. Yeah, yeah, that's it's too just, much
no,
perspective.
But, it goes, you know, but also it means you. It's not getting properly condimented and onioned. You know, it's
oh,
just,
yes.
Anyway, last year it was just appalling. So I'm going to go this year. I'm going to give it a go.
Mm. Right. Give them a chance.
Yeah, I'm going to see how things work out. The other thing that's happening there at the moment, I don't know if you noticed this evening, but there's a new busker. He's got a voice like Lou Rawls, except slight northern accent there. And he's serenading now with Christmas hits. So I came... he was doing Santa Claus is Coming to Town. He had a most... That voice, like, it's like velvet.
Ooh.
It's just lovely. Yeah, it's really good voice. It was really Whoa, really nice voice. But then at the end, yeah, he did the, I tell you that Santa, oh, that crazy cat called Santa.
Oh, he all zhuzhed it up.
He really zhuzhed up his end. It was fantastic.
He went on Vegas.
Yeah, yeah. He's a gonna mosey to town. And, I said a crazy cat like Santa. He's gonna mosey. He just, I don't know where people learn that.
I like it.
It's outside the realm of the songwriter. It's,
yeah, no,
it's
what like, is it? Is it like cruise liners
don't say,
or something?
And then for the end, they can just make their stuff up. I don't really mind what goes on. Yeah. That wasn't in the rules.
It's not
how
written
you
on
make
the manuscript.
A 3-minute song into 5 minutes for sure.
Right.
Well, anyway, he's singing that. The guy in the other corner is singing, "Energy and the time of your life."
Oh, is he?
Yeah, a bad version, yeah? And I saw this guy, he's really looking, he waited for the guy to finish one Christmas thing.
Yeah.
Then he started on his, and then he looked across and he started banging into another Christmas classic.
No.
No, sorry, he did the same one again.
Oh.
You better watch out.
Straight in.
Yeah, and I saw him bend down and really whack his own volume up, and the guy looks at him, he put his up, and you can see the guy on his little acoustic, and something unpredictable, and he ended up going, but in the end, it's right!
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
I'm Johnny Vaughan, this is the 4 till 7 thing. Now, I'm going back to that throwaway line that, Doctor, before we get to little size dahlias, you just dug them up, did you?
Just dug them up. That's it.
Why?
Well, you've got to dig up your bulbs, haven't you?
Well, this time of the year?
Yeah, put them away for the winter.
What have you got, like, in the shed?
I've left mine.
Yeah, no.
Where'd you put them?
Mine are fine.
No, I'm going to put them in the shed. They're in a bed of hay.
Are they?
Yeah, yeah.
Are they bulbs?
Yeah, they're bulbs.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
My old nan used to keep them in my granddad's sock drawer.
Right.
Sunta, you full of bulbs, it was. Keep them nice and cosy in there. Just put a little sock in each one.
Know that, and I'm slightly worried now because I wasn't told I needed to dig them up.
Wow, he's actually engaged you.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know what's worse.
I'm expecting my snowdrops, my daffs, and my tulips.
This is indie gardening hour. What's going on?
Don't let's not do this. Sunta, you said something really interesting on Friday.
Yes.
Little Simon, please quote what Sunta said just before the end of Friday's show off air. She said, and he wrote this down because I said, you make sure you get that for Monday.
Everyone has a drink before going yoga. Mm-hmm.
Why did you mess that up?
I don't know. I couldn't actually remember.
Your courage went. Everyone likes a little drink before yoga.
Honestly,
man. And I could see your courage visibly. Do you know what it did? His everything, you visibly petered. Didn't he?
Everyone fizzled out. Yeah, he was like a bad firework.
It really was. It was.
Sorry.
Everyone like. What did you say? You reminded me of it when I came in. Everyone likes a little drink. So does everybody like a little drink before yoga?
The context of that was...
No, the context was simply everyone likes a little drink before yoga.
No, but the context was that it wasn't before a yoga class. It was the evening before a yoga class.
Ah.
That makes sense.
You did not mean that
as your hangover cure, you mean?
Yeah, so I was very much avoiding drinking on weekends when I was doing my yoga.
Okay.
And then it turned out...
I think Nicely styled out. And I know this is because you've got ambitions of yoga instruction. You're frightened about your rep. But believe me, the way it came across was before you go in, because it is a muscle relaxant, you like a little sharpener.
That's a bad idea when there's a lot of balancing involved in the class, I would suggest.
So it's just starting a new thing called hot rum yoga.
I tell you, she started hot rum yoga.
Just do it.
There's definitely some room for that.
Genius. Hot rum.
It sounds brilliant.
That's a bit of rum.
Yeah, just a little bit of warming.
No, a bit of rum yoga.
Sure, yeah, a bit of rum yoga.
Yeah, a bit of rum. So, Suns.
Yes.
You're now retracting your comment. You're saying you like it the night before.
Yeah, because I wasn't even allowing myself a drink the night before yoga because I thought, that's not done.
I tell you something.
And then it turns out, loads of people I do yoga with have a drink before yoga, meaning the night before, not the morning of the class. Not like before 9 a.m.
I really want to see
class.
One of these
Quick,
yoga
I've got a little time for a little snifter before
you,
I go in.
Because you rock hard. I'm really interested to see your yoga class. Whoever goes, I've got a confession to make.
John.
I've had a few drinks as well. So have I. Look, people going, I like a drink as well. Suddenly, hello, my name's Sunta. I like drinking and yoga.
Now, you see, this is new me.
Okay, fair enough. Fair
this
enough,
is
enough,
new
fair
yoga
fair
me.
Enough. Okay, so yeah, so tell me, yoga you. You don't then have a drink at like just a little, just to relax the muscles or whatever. See, I'm slightly goading you into it.
No.
Okay, 83936. Do you like a little drink before yoga? If so, we'd love to hear from you. Sunshine would love to hear from you. And don't style it out like she's now doing. Well, that's very,
although
very.
Although I am taking hot rum yoga. That's mine now. I'm going to come up with something for
I'm going to do bit rum. Bit rum yoga.
Welcome to the show, Pete.
Hiya.
You know what you've got to do? Can you name everything you can get cash back on with American Express? Go.
Dishwasher tablets, a cheese sandwich, a lamp, my socks, a blue pen.
Ooh, we're out of time. Nearly, Pete. You were thousands of things off, actually. As the answer is, anything you can buy.
Oh, okay.
Earn cash back on anything you buy with the American Express Platinum Cashback Everyday Credit Card. No annual fee. Search Amex Cashback. Representative 24.5% APR variable. Minimum annual spend to receive cashback. Terms apply. 18 plus subject to approval.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Get this, yeah? This is the Cornish at their tight-fisted best, yeah?
Go on.
Worst, sorry.
Go on.
The banning of artificial flowers at a cemetery in Cornwall.
Why?
Is that how they honour the dead in Cornwall? He just went up there and he just slipped some out of his clothes on it. That means I don't have any baked nut never have to go up there again. To be a big scare of bare real flowers here to get all rotten. Typical, isn't it?
Banned them.
Plastic flowers.
Yeah, they've banned them. Even some Cornish authorities thought, hang on a second, God, our mob are so cheap.
This is not in fitting.
No, and these won't be Emmett bodies either. These are locals. The banning of artificial flowers at a cemetery in Cornwall, an effort to cut plastic pollution, has prompted confrontations between mourners and members of a parish council.
Confrontations?
Yes, yeah, mourners.
Do you think different mourners are passing the same bunch of plastic flowers from one grave to the next?
Of course they are.
Just to save a bit of cake.
If you want, you know, bait nut, never have to go and bait them, just have some rosy. You know, I've seen other parishioners that just done that.
It's her turn now.
That's her turn now. Hey, you done. Hello? Hello, Seth, are you done with them flowers?
Who's
you
got the flowers?
You had at that funeral, because I might need them Thursday. Yeah, mother's not looking too well.
Oh, don't worry about it.
Oh, don't worry about it. I can send some right down there right now. Gav.
Yeah.
A sign at Alberston Cemetery, about 15 miles north of Plymouth.
Yeah.
Oh, don't worry about it. Well, I am worried about it. Oh, don't worry about it. Just leave your suitcases there. Shut up, woman! Sorry. That was an encounter I had with a woman who ran a B&B who was telling everyone, oh, don't worry about it. It must pass ag first. They'll see the rage in that bar. Put up by Calstock Parish Council, warns mourners, this cemetery is plastic free. So they now, that means now the Cornish, you've got to spend big. And well, like you see, it's waste flowers. Mm. Could be decorated in my house instead of can't get around dead people. They are just isn't that so cynical, though? I just shove some plastic ones there and they'll make that go there again.
It's not right.
Oh, don't worry about it. Just shove some plastic ones.
They won't know.
They won't know. They're dead.
No one's to know.
Oh, don't worry about it. Just shove some. We just shove some plastic on our Derek. We welcome fresh flowers and plants and ornaments made from natural fibres. What they're basically saying is, get in tune with the rest of Britain.
Yeah, yeah. Ornaments made from natural fibres.
Yes.
What the hell is that?
Wicker men.
It is wicker men.
Wicker men.
Definitely. It's wicker men.
That is precisely what they're saying, Def. Can't think of it. I didn't read between
God,
the lines.
No!
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No! No! God, no!
By all that's holy.
God, no!
I reckon they should have shoved him in there. The smell of burning plastic flowers. They've probably got plastic wicker men in Cornwall.
Oh, man.
So cut price, Gav. Burning plastic.
Radio X.
Guys, listen. Guys.
Go on.
I've got the top gift this Christmas. And okay. I love it. And I love it when people ask for it, and it's brilliant.
Go on, then.
Cash.
Cash, yes.
Oh, no, are you joking?
Cash is king.
Just cash, please, Dad.
Yeah.
Oh, just cash is nice.
It's magical.
It's
so magical.
I'd like every Christmas, nothing under the Christmas tree, just envelopes, like Goodfellas wedding.
Definitely.
Brilliant.
I think it shows more thoughtfulness.
I do. Definitely.
It's awful because you're always like, is that enough? Shall I stick another fiver in? Ooh, yeah. Maybe another tenner. I'm confused. How is this? It's too much. It's too much.
No, just always give everyone a nifty.
Yeah.
Always give everyone a 50.
A nice little
just
nifty.
A 50.
Sure.
It might, look, if I was getting a tenner for Christmas, say, from my granny when I was a kid,
yeah,
it's got to be 50 now.
That must be true.
That must
with
be
inflation.
The, I don't know, inflation, but just, why has 50 not moved on from being big?
Yeah, you're right, actually.
Do you know what I mean?
It's true.
Still, I still, when I look at a £50 note, I still get this idea of bigness.
Could buy a house with this.
Yes, yes. Fivers have just...
It's like a giant Victorian
note.
Whereas,
at the other end of the scale, fivers have just gone.
Yeah, know, not even
like
a quid.
Fiver, it's like I'd prefer a pound coin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fivers are the new 50p, aren't they?
Yeah. It's like if you've got nothing bigger.
My granddad used to give me a fiver for Christmas.
Yeah.
Years ago, obviously.
Yeah.
And then he'd say in the card, he'd say, put it in the bank, son.
Yeah, did he?
And is did that, you? Is did that, you put it in the bank?
Is that,
of course I didn't. It was a fiver.
Is that,
it was, yeah.
So as the granddad, he used to go,
put it in
so
the bank.
Do you say put it in the...
Yeah. That's the place for your money.
Anyway, Gav.
Well, all of it.
The point is, it's not really the point. I keep saying the point is, but I want to know why. So, and is it just a generational thing? But why has the 50 remained big?
How has it done that?
Yeah.
How has it done that?
No, I don't know. What is the amount now your granddad or grand, but if the unimaginative grandparents put in, or imaginative, and they're doing it for a teenager, what's the amount?
Yeah.
Is we got to the 50 now? No, but have we got
What level are we talking
about? Yeah, is it 20s?
Yeah, what is it?
Or 220s, because still that extra 10 gets you to 50 and it's just...
Man.
And also, 220s and a 10, that wouldn't impress me like a 50.
No, that's
what
right.
What is it about the 50?
But you like adding them up. So if you've got an uncle, two aunts, and a gran,
right.
You put them all together,
well,
you've got a little nice...
You said they should club together and get a 50?
A little stashy cash. Yeah.
So we've all clubbed together and bought you a £50 note. There you go. Anyway, cash is king this Christmas.
Radio X.
Okay, I've got a massive reason for national pride.
Yeah.
Get this, yeah? You're thinking, what does Britain really have that's really good?
Right.
Yeah? What have we got that's the best in the world, yeah?
Yeah.
Listen to this. A British four-year-old reached the summit of an 11,000-foot mountain.
What?
After a two-week hike in the Rockies.
That's, on their own?
Yes, that's what we're still good at. Our four-year-olds.
Oh, my
best in
God.
The world. Best in the world.
Beating all other toddlers.
Yeah, all right, then. You reckon you're good, yeah? Get your four-year-olds down here.
Right.
Well, I want a four-year-old Olympics. Just with four-year-olds. Going for it, yeah?
I don't know why there isn't a regiment.
Oh, God, that's a fantastic idea.
We do need a toddler, a kid regiment.
Yeah,
toddler.
Four-year-old killers.
Elite four-year-olds.
Yeah, really elite. They look like nothing.
The grey kid.
Yeah. Fantastic. The grey kids.
It's
got to
be done, yeah.
The grey kids. Where does that come from?
From the grey man, the idea of the man who disappeared.
Yeah, I know, but the grey kids. No, I'm just saying, there's not much we can be proud of, but this four-year-old,
it's amazing.
He's gone out there on his own back as well. Went to the airport, parents didn't even know where he'd gone.
He did all the sponsorship, everything,
He went round, he says here... He went round to his friend Craig's house for tea.
Yeah.
They dropped him off, next thing they knew, he was top of an 11,000-foot mountain, did it all of his own back.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
No, but it's something we can be proud of. I knew we had something as a national asset, just sitting around doing nothing.
Just waiting to be activated.
And now this guy's, we should be really proud of our four-year-olds.
Definitely.
Son, are you feeling a swell of pride in it?
Sure.
I'm just thinking other things about the four-year-old Olympics. Definitely.
Oh, for sure,
I tell you what I want now. Do you want me next?
What?
Round the world, single-handed, four-year-old.
Sailing.
In a yacht.
Oh, definitely.
Specially adapted. You can adapt them.
Yeah.
I've seen them adapted, but a four-year-old could handle that.
And if that's the case, why not fighter pilots?
Yes.
What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that?
Nothing at all.
They could sit on the bus, just slot in like R2-D2.
And have really small, really deadly little planes.
Yes. Tiny planes.
Really?
Fantastic guys. They could literally fly a drone, but they're in it. Fantastic, Gavin.
I love
that. Fantastic.
Idea.
Other things 4 year olds could do really well. I'd like to see one row the Atlantic, little boat, or something like a small pedalo.
Yeah.
Swim the channel.
Oh, almost not enough of a task.
It's not enough. One of British 4 year olds.
Yeah.
If it was a French 4 year old, I'd say yes.
Yeah.
That is quite challenging. But
swim there and back.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, holding in one breath.
No,
yeah.
But I was discussing this with my son the other day, and he was saying he reckons swimming, when people say they swam the English Channel, yeah?
Yeah.
That's not swimming, that's a width.
It is a width.
English 4-year-old is the first to do the length.
Definitely.
Seriously. Definitely. He swims. My son was saying, it's not impressive, it's just one width, isn't it?
Yes.
If I told you I can do a width of a swimming pool, it's nothing.
It's not the
same.
Yeah,
when you do your
all.
First length.
Yeah. Who's doing the length?
Or British Forces does a width underwater.
Right.
He's the
right,
first person
right,
to
right.
push off at Dover, literally, vroom, like a little torpedo.
I want to see a road cycling race with 4-year-olds.
Oh, fantastic.
Well. Yeah, proper, like Tour de France.
All in Spider-Man pyjamas. Fantastic, Gaff. Fantastic. Maybe one is Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Definitely.
Gav, I don't know. It's still up there. I'm, you know.
X. Switch to BT Superfast Fibre this Black Friday and pay absolutely nothing for the first 3 months. Then $27.99 per month from month four. Plus, get your first 3 months of BT TV Entertainment half price, which includes Sky Channels with a Now Entertainment membership and a Netflix subscription, all for only £8 a month. Be quick. These offers end on the 2nd of December. Join BT today. 24-month contracts, 95% UK coverage, CPI plus 3.9% increase each March. Now membership RRP £9.99 per month. Netflix basic plan RRP £5.99 per month. Terms apply.
Radio. X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
I'm really worried about the Woodman. He's just started lying a lot. He was just showing us all a picture of this Messer guitar speaker.
Messer
He's
boogie.
Walked around going, look at that, look at that. And it is nice. And I said, Gav, you don't own one. And he just suddenly went, yeah, I've got two of them. I know, I've seen your guitars and stuff. You forget, Gav, I've known you since we were 18.
I know, I drank a bottle of brandy. It was great.
Well, yeah, I put a foot through the telly watching the whistle test. Hey, Gav. When I worked at a local newspaper in Peterborough, there was a culture of time wasting. There was also when I worked in a clothes shop. That was even bigger.
Yeah.
When I worked at a clothes shop, sorry, no matter how up against it you were, if someone sat on your desk and said, Sue, you want to waste some time? You had to do nothing for 10 minutes. You
that was
had
the rules,
to.
Yeah.
Even though, and people, we'd wait because you only had one amnesty or two amnesties a day, I think it was. Mm. And then if you then resist it, if you said, no, I can't waste some time, you now have to get the first round in.
Oh, man.
And we were poor back then. You know, that was a real, that really
a
hit
lot
you hard.
Of money,
I was
yeah.
around this because suddenly you'd have loads of people going, oh, excellent. Yeah, it was terrible, terrible. Anyway, it was a game that inspired you to send in your stories of... examples of workplace games, skiving, cheeky corporate tips. My best one, yeah?
Yeah.
When I worked in a clothes shop, I love this tune. Before we talk about these, my best one, when I used to work in a clothes shop, we used to see how long you could spend, what we call power floating, I'm calling it now.
And what is that?
When you hold a piece of paper and a pen,
yeah,
you hold it up, you walk onto the shop floor, and then you look at something, and you go, 1, 2, 3. And you go, 1, 2, 3. Then you look at the piece of paper, and you go, well, how the... God! And then you've got to look cheesed off, and then you go to the stock room, and you do, and you have a cigarette, or just mess around.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
But, and then you have to go... Or you go to the stock room, and do, if the manager was there, and you do exactly that, you go, hang on, and they go, Johnny, what are you doing? You go, hang on a second, because the boss was Stephen. Okay, yeah. Hang on a second, Stephen. 34, 35, 36, 37, 32. Well, where's the 34s? And then you just go straight out on the floor and do exactly the same.
Just
you
brilliant.
Do it for hours.
Wow.
And actually, it was harder work than working.
Yeah, I bet.
Not as much fun. Yeah, I bet.
It sounds like loads of hard work.
I love that look you just did. Yeah, I bet. I bet it does. Right. Rat and Sacks would play ice hockey on the floor of a butcher's freezer.
Beautiful.
Genius.
Work.
Chris invented the fag packet finger catch championships. And Ben created Think Fast, where you throw random objects at somebody, and while it's in midair, shout Think Fast. For some reason, I don't seem to be able to remember it. And so every time I play with Big Si, I go, what was that game called? And he goes,
clang.
Think Fast. And then I chuck something, and I realise I've just warned him. Anyway, Think Fast! Send your work, rest, and place to 83936 or email johnny@radiox.co.uk. Santa, you got one here from someone who's the unnamed teacher.
Yes, and they say, back when we had to invigilate exams...
I love these.
...teachers would enjoy playing human Pac-Man between the exam tables.
That's fantastic.
I love that.
Another exam game was asking staff to go and stand next to the pupil who they thought was most likely to become Prime Minister.
Yes.
Or go to prison.
Yeah, I know. Oh. Tell me about it.
It helped to pass the time.
Yeah, and they also, it was in the papers. They got in trouble for this because it got to stuff about their parents. But also, they played battleships.
Yes.
With the grid. So they actually, you write on a piece of paper and the coordinates. They go down, they walk and they go...
And just nod and shake.
So there'd be two teachers playing it.
Yeah.
And there'd be the invigilator go like that, and then they'd go and stand by one kid like that. And then they just had to fold their arms, which meant they were saying they're probably going, no.
Not a hit.
So the next person they had to have a go, which I think is just, and why not?
Why not?
Gav, what you got from Andy in Blackpool?
Andy says, we used to grab a few hours snooze between the carpet racks when I worked in a flooring warehouse. It was always a race to get to the plush rolls first. The good ones.
Yeah. Okay, get this.
Brilliant.
Get this, right? This is genius. This is Ryan in London. Thank you very much, Ryan. All right. Yeah, Johnny used to work for a private bank with a grand court. We would time each other walking as fast as possible, but not so fast as to arouse suspicion. We go across the court and up the client lifts to the top floor, which was glass. You then sprint across and back down the fire escape to your desk. We call it the banker's lap.
Oh, nice.
So they go, I love that. So any work rest and plays, please. Workplace games, cheeky corporate kips, tales of work avoidance, 83936.
Radio X.
This is Radio X. I'm Johnny Vaughan. We're just looking at the... In terms of acceleration, no other body movement comes close to the speed of this.
Sneeze. I've got it. It's a sneeze, isn't it?
I was going to say sneeze.
Were you?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, do you know what? You heard her. You saw her writing that down.
No, I didn't.
You know she's really competitive. That's really upset her now, actually, Gavin.
Is it sneeze?
It is. So it's well done. It's not.
Is it?
Is it a girlfriend's head turned towards you when they catch you even taking the slightest look at another fine young filly?
Right.
That's James from 1974.
Right.
It's an odd thing with all partners that if you're driving and looking vacantly out the window, I look at like a tramp or look at... You just look at people.
Yeah.
Weird, but whatever. But your eyes are only going to look on someone who actually they deem interesting. And you sort of think it says more about them.
Right.
What they think is now, what they deem is now...
Yeah, the eye of the
hot.
Observer.
Yes,
yeah,
hot. Yeah. Is what they think you think is hot.
As my friend once said, beauty is in the eye of the beast. It's the best ever Freudian slip I've ever heard.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, we called him the beast from then on,
obviously.
Oh, yes, obviously.
Yes. Is that how he got the name? That's brilliant.
Such a good slip.
That's fantastic, yeah.
Beauty. Well, you see yourself as a beast.
Beauty is in the eye of the beast. I'm not going to get anything better.
Okay,
I'm sorry. Fastest movement
go on.
Is the speed at which you shake your hand after hitting your thumb with a hammer.
Yeah.
Nice effort, Scott. There's loads of good guesses. The speed an MP puts their nose in the trough. That is, they haven't measured that yet. That might...
Almost unmeasurable.
Almost unmeasurable. It's so fast, you wouldn't be able to... I'll tell you what it is.
Go on.
It's that. Snapping your finger.
Snapping your finger?
Yep. Okay.
Really?
Yes, yes. With a click of their fingers, scientists have set a new human speed record. If you do that, you're breaking... That's the fastest thing you can do.
Wow.
Now get this, right? So, the most detailed yet study of the physics of the snap looked at how the tip of the finger that is clicked traces an arc through the air, and they've used high-speed cameras. They found that it reached a speed about 20 times faster than an eye blinking.
Wow.
It accelerates at 1.6 million degrees per second squared.
Wow.
What?
Right, let me take you through it, okay, because it's got three movements.
Go on.
First, force is built up by pressing the thumb and middle finger together. Right.
Yeah.
Then we get to the second, the so-called latch phase.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Friction between the two fingers acts like a latch, preventing the energy from being released. So you're now building up with
preloading the
Eventually,
tension.
An unlatching process begins with the thumb moving laterally and the middle finger quickly sliding past the thumb, starting the snap motion. The middle finger then slips into the palm, and it's the shock waves generated that result in the popping sound.
So that's why it's not just a... A dull slap.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're building up so much, that's why you can't possibly see that. Okay, nice one, kids. The study was inspired by Hollywood because in Avengers Infinity War, the villain kills half the universe by snapping his fingers.
Spoiler alert.
But he does it with a metal gauntlet, apparently.
Ah.
So what they did was they then explored the roles of friction by in the latch process where we build up that pressure. And what they did was they put different metallic thimbles on the fingers, which reduced the friction.
Yeah.
So this interfered with the latch process. Mm. That was step two, where we build up pressure of the snap, and resulted actually in the speed of the fingers.
It's so a weaker snap.
The universe would have survived longer with his gauntlet than if he just kept his face. If he wanted to be really ruthless, he should have taken the mean gauntlet off.
Yeah.
Increasing the although he might have wanted a more lingering death for the universe, increasing the friction of the fingertips with rubber coverings also reduced speed and acceleration. The point is, they couldn't create anything faster than you are.
Than the skin works.
There is no modification that you can do to those fingers to get that going faster. Skin and your own body mechanics are perfect. It's as though it was what we were born to do.
My
be weighted
God.
On and snap our fingers. Like little Simon.
Absolutely right.
Okay,
yeah.
But get this. What I love about this is anytime they do useless research, this is obviously a bunch of scientists who've seen that film sort of thinking, yeah, I wonder if I slowed it down or speed it up, because they think like that. Mm. Get, all these things, when they've wasted their time with this research and loads of resources and high-speed cameras, all, at the end we always get the, this will in future enable yada, yada, yada. Get this, are you ready? It says, these scientists have opened the door to discovering the principles operating in other organisms to putting this mechanism to work in engineering systems such as bio-inspired robots. Yeah, yeah, it was a lot of fun. They just went in and had a right laugh. Right, this is... So now you know.
Great.
That's amazing.
I found that interesting. I like things that I can do that myself. And I can sort of look at it and I can... Yeah.
We are the greatest.
We're the greatest. Yeah, we're the greatest. Yeah. There's no one better than you at that.
That's right.
But what I want to know is, I bet I'm faster than you.
Okay, I don't think so.
Let's go. Ready? You give us 1, 2, 3, Si. No, you better do it, little Si. We'll see who the fastest is.
3, 2.
Thank you. Let's have a tune.
X. Switch to BT Superfast Fibre this Black Friday and pay absolutely nothing for the first 3 months. Then £27.99 per month from month 4. Plus, get your first 3 months of BT TV Entertainment half price, which includes Sky Channels with a Now Entertainment membership and a Netflix subscription, all for only £8 a month. Be quick. These offers end on the 2nd of December. Join BT today. 24-month contracts, 95% UK coverage, CPI plus 3.9% increase each March. Now membership RRP £9.99 per month. Netflix basic plan RRP £5.99 per month. Terms apply.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Quite a brisk day out there. A bit colder than... nice sunny morning. Got a bit colder. Just in time for me to decide to do a U-turn, decide not to play 9 at golf.
Oh, really?
I was going to go for an easy 9.
Sure.
But instead, I just hit the gym hard.
Okay.
Right, sure.
Really hard.
Wow. Sure. Did you leave it all there in the gym?
Gav, when I don't get my own way, I get angry, I get frustrated. Sure.
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 And that gym gets a pounding.
Mm.
I wish I could punch the whole gym.
Right, in one punch.
Yeah, I wish the gym was like a punch bag, a heavy bag.
Wow.
And I could take it all on at once. Yeah. Anyway, it was finger day today.
Okay.
So my hands are feeling absolutely exhausted.
What do you do for finger day?
Well, all the usual stuff.
Finger curls.
Yeah.
Finger press.
Finger flies.
We've got a little finger press.
Reverse
press.
Finger flies.
Finger lunges?
Yeah, I do some finger lunges.
A Polish finger lift.
No, what I'm trying to get, look, if you look at my hideously overdeveloped hands.
Yeah, they are horrible.
Right.
The veins.
Yeah.
Sure. What, you know, between the thumb and Freddy forefinger, you see that lump I'm getting? It's like an egg.
Yeah. It's
That's what I'm really trying to build there. There is a muscle in there. I know that because I've injected steroids directly into there.
Wow.
So by writing and doing the same work with it.
Uh-huh.
It's going to get bigger.
Wow.
And it was a day down. It was a good day down at the gym. It's quite lonely, actually. Not a lot of the gang down there. So many of the guys now are back in the city.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, they are all just out doing property.
Startups.
Or just having a look at pubs to add to their groups of gastro pubs.
Sure.
You know, hard to get staff these days, especially ones you haven't got to pay much.
Yeah.
And they're really looking at the bottom line.
Right.
Yeah, pretty lonely down there, everyone at work, but I feel better for it anyway. My fingers are knackered.
Yeah, I noticed, like with leg day, you don't skip thumb day either.
No. Never skip. Do you know I'm going to really work on next year?
What? What are you going for?
Neck.
Yeah.
Mm.
Neck.
Yeah.
I've seen some of the advances watching ballers during lockdown.
Mm.
Just the advances in neck... building tech.
Uh-huh.
And,
neck tech.
Yeah.
Tech.
Neck tech.
Necknology.
Yeah, but necknology. And the thing is, the trouble is there's a stigma, isn't there? Because if a guy is in a gym,
yeah,
and they've just watched you spending 3 hours with like a weird helmet on with two of those heavy dumbbells
right.
dangling.
Yeah, yeah.
It just looks like you could be using that time better.
Sure, sure.
You know? But one of the days I'm not going to be skipping is neck day. Mm. You know what my real problem is?
What?
It's not a 9-day week.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the muscle groups.
Right.
Yeah, you can't
so
match them.
So what
yeah.
I've constructed, yeah,
yeah,
is a 10-day week that now I'm conforming to.
Right.
And I'm not changing my hours at all.
Okay.
I'm doing 10-day weeks so that I don't have to skip a day.
Right.
So I'm going to ignore not the normal day structure.
Sure.
Sure.
That's gone now.
Sure.
What?
It makes sense. It's very sound.
What I'm going to do, my first move is I need some more Norse gods
to name days after. What are the other days called?
I don't know. Suggestions. 83936. What are we going to call my extra 3 days?
Radio X.
I'm Johnny Vaughan. This is my 4 till 7 thing on Radio X. Thank you so much, incidentally, for everyone sending me their extra days of the week. We need 3. We've got one already, which is Groovesday. That's after Tuesday. Monday, Tuesday, Groovesday. We're going to build it up in a second. If they can sound like they fit in, that's the mark of it. Right. And so to this so-called migrant crisis. I'm going to skirt through this very fast because I've got something really important, a really important breakthrough there. But at the moment, the French are saying we're treating them like a punch ball.
Right.
And the British are trying to say that the French are punishing us for Brexit with migrants.
By sending them here deliberately.
Yeah. Can right. I say, it's that's been said. I'm going to go through this very quickly, but I say that it's such a racist thing to say that the arrival of any people could punish people. And how do you think that makes them feel if they're thinking we're a punishment for someone? This is like David Cameron when he described them as swarms. Never a positive word. These are people looking, we've got nothing, absolutely nothing, looking for a new life somewhere because they just want the life we've all got. And if there's something wrong with that, or if you don't understand that, then go to where they've come from. If you don't want to go there, then you can understand them wanting to come here.
Yeah.
I mean, what we've got to do is make it so the countries people don't want to leave them because they're better and there isn't the imbalance. Anyway, that's the preachy bit. But if the French really want to punish us, just send us Parisian cab drivers.
The most uncompromising people.
The most uncompromising, nasty people you've met in your life who just treat. Or any waiter from there. Right. But in all this asylum crisis that's there.
Yeah.
Get this, guys. Get this. Asylum seeker across the channel tries his luck on a jet ski.
You're kidding.
Yeah. He arrives on the beach. He arrives on the beach. He says, and he asks the police to direct him to the nearest wine bar.
Wow.
Yeah, he wanted to go. Oh,
he came up the Thames heading for the city.
Come on in. The jet skis, that's got to be. You just direct them up right up the Thames, straight to the city.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Wow, where do you get the jet ski for?
I don't know, but he's looking for red braces.
Yeah. Pinstripe suit.
Yeah, a slight mullet at the back.
Yeah.
That says, let's party. Anyway, I just think he sounds like, if they're coming in on jet skis, for all we know, that could be the new Simon Cowell as he retires from telly.
Very good point. Yeah, very good point.
Who are you getting? Stringfellow? The man. No, but I'm saying we face it. We're always talking about a shortage of skills, right?
Yeah.
And this is another thing I hate is because they sort of say, oh, well, we'll take doctors.
Right.
And you're thinking, well, doesn't the country they're coming from that's actually trained that might need doctors, probably,
right.
rather than us not investing in our own young people and making them doctors?
Yeah.
And I'm sort of thinking, well, so whenever there's a skill shortage like tech or things we're trying to bring in that we can't invest in ourselves, when we let them in, jet skis, that's got to be that's a skill.
Absolutely right, yeah. I mean, we don't have Stringfellow anymore.
No, Cowell's retired.
Yeah, he has.
Rod Stewart's 80.
Exactly.
I'm just saying, there is a skill.
There's a gap, isn't
there? There's a skills
gap. There's a jet ski man shortage.
There really genuinely is. And the government, you never hear them talking about it.
No.
How can we get...
And look at Europe, they got loads.
They got
it's
loads
not fair.
Out there. Oh, Gav, absolutely right.
You've
Italians.
Got the whole Iglesias family.
Yes, yeah, you got all the Iglesiae.
Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
We've all got that friend or colleague that takes lying to the next level. Certainly have right here on the 4 till 7 thing you're listening to Radio X. They are masters of the ancient art of Bushido. Bushido! Did you ever used to watch the show, Water Margin?
No.
Did you never watch Water Margin?
I know the show
it
you mean.
It was replaced by Monkey, which was...
Right.
But Water Margin, it was about Yang Changpo.
Right.
Led by Ling Chong.
Right.
and it used to start off with this amazingly sort of bogus Chinese voice of this guy. And he used to talk about living in the water margins of China. And then he used to say, but the phrase which me and my dad loves, well, the only thing I used to watch with my dad, if he got home from work on when I was really little, but at the very start, it was just a great old, he used to say, ancient Chinese proverbs say, and then he used to say, do not despise the snake who has no horns. Who knows, someday he may become mighty dragon.
Right.
Because when I see a snake with no horns, I despise it. Don't you?
Do not despise the snake.
No, but
with
I
no
do.
Horns.
I think, get out of here.
I despise you.
Go, horn- goes in here, goes the horse, and goes, yeah.
Hornless
but
snake.
I used to sit there baffled, and my dad used to go, oh. Anyway, the point is, everyone who takes part in Bullshido, they feel like those snakes with no horns.
That's sure. right,
and Bullshido gives them those horns, so they won't be so despised.
That's
but
true.
Will be more popular.
And be dragons.
Perfect. Yes, and be dragons, Sunta.
There be dragons.
Exactly right. Which brings us to the dragons. Right, send your Bullshido stories to A3936. I love the fact you did the, which brings us back, the circle is complete. Okay, send your Bullshido stories, 83936, or tweet at Radio X. Let's see what's going on in the Dojo of Deceit this week. Gav, sorry, Sunta Templeton.
Steve Inley says, my mate told everyone at our local pub that he fell out of the corkscrew at Alton Towers and right back into his own seat.
As it wow. came back under him. That's wow. ridiculous.
But I kind of would like to see it happen, wouldn't you?
I was sick on the pirate ship at Alton Towers.
Nice.
While it was at the top of the swing. Yeah,
you don't need that in your life.
Well, it wasn't.
God.
Actually, I didn't really suffer. You've seen the faces there.
A fallout from something like that is not good.
That one is like one guy had a quiff. Okay. What have you got there, Gav?
I wonder if Stephen Lee that sent that in for Sunta was is Stee in Lee.
Stee, yeah.
Is it the same Stee?
I hope it's called Stee for sure. That game, why did we laugh at that so much?
But
for
why
so
do
long?
We need to shorten that? Yeah, anyway.
I don't know. Go on, Gav.
Okay, this is from Rob in Banbury. My mate Trav is is well versed in the art of Bullshido, but our favourite has to be when he told us that whilst in Wales, he once paid for a haircut with radishes.
What?
Oh, man.
Why even think of
Why?
That to lie at? That's amazing.
What I like it. This is Alan Abu Dhabi. He says, Bullshido. He says it's in Abu Dhabi. I don't know. For me, Abu Dhabi, Dubai, those seven Emirates really are almost the home of the game.
Right, yeah, yeah.
In terms of you Absolutely, just don't, even yeah. if you read a newspaper there, it'll say, indoor golf course planned, 18 holes, air conditioned.
Yeah,
Christ, I must be up to. It doesn't matter. We just here we go. My brother works as a tour bus driver in South Devon. One of his fellow road captains reported that whilst driving a group of pensioners across Dartmoor, he spotted a Royal Navy Sea Harrier in Truffles. What is it about the services that? Smoke was coming from the engines. It put down in a nearby field. On seeing this, he pulled over the tour bus, took his trusty bus toolkit across to the stricken plane. The pensioners on board the bus looked on as he and the pilot proceeded to repair the faulty engine. The Harrier then took off, flew over to the front of the bus. The pilot then hovered for a moment, then dipped the nose to salute him.
Oh, my God.
What?
This might be one of my favourite ever Bullshidos.
He just dipped it for the coach driver.
He repaired a jet engine on a Harrier with a bus toolkit.
We could have been the thrusters, Captain.
Yeah.
You don't know. We don't know which. But there was something that he could repair. The pilot's got down. I think he just needs a...
it's a bit of 3-in-1.
But probably like looking about an M5 there. Sorry.
Oh.
If you got one, Les. Hang on, let me have a look, Jack.
Yeah. He just had his workman on him.
God, I hope he looked like Steve McLaren.
Oh, man.
Oh, Steve McLaren.
Let's have a look.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is Bullshido. Send your Bullshido stories, 83936, or tweet at Radio X. Thank you so much for these.
Switch to BT Superfast Fibre this Black Friday and pay absolutely nothing for the first 3 months. Then $27.99 per month from month four. Plus, get your first 3 months of BT TV Entertainment half price, which includes Sky Channels with a Now Entertainment membership and a Netflix subscription, all for only £8 a month. Be quick. These offers end on the 2nd of December. Join BT today.
24-month contracts. 95% UK coverage. CPI plus 3.9% increase each March. Now membership RRP £9.99 per month. Netflix basic plan RRP £5.99 per month. Terms apply.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
There was a thing in the paper, there's a photograph that I found really, really interesting.
Right.
Because it had four sticks. And I know this sounds a bit visual.
Right.
But there were four sticks, little broken twigs, little twigs.
Yes.
And one of them was a moth.
Yeah, I've seen that picture. It's
and it's
insane.
Amazing. It's insane camouflage. No, but for the evolution of that.
I know.
Just to gradually, the ones that had the stick-like characteristics didn't die. So it's a lovely thing. And again, as you know, I can't stand Richard Dawkins. But, Dick the Dork. But there's a great thing in one of his books where he's describing this process of what's called designoid evolution, which is a bit different to that.
Right.
And he tells this fascinating story about there's a certain crab off the coast of Japan.
Mm.
And it on the back of its shell, on some of them, it looks because of the markings, it looks like a human face.
Okay.
And this is designoid evolution because there's an intelligence behind it rather than straightforward evolution.
Right.
I'm only telling you this, it's interesting. It's got nothing to do with what we're about to find out.
Okay.
Go on.
But I just found it interesting. But these crabs, Japanese fishermen used to throw away the ones that looked like a human face on the back.
Right.
That were marked like that.
Yeah.
Because they thought it would bring them good luck.
Right. But now you've got a human interaction with the...
Right, and so now they are all like that.
Right.
Because they got all the
others. That's how they survived.
And those ones that evolved, so the ones that were marked like that. And so now they've become more and more human-looking. So that's how humans can affect that. These moths, though, Christ knows how they did it by themselves.
Well, they don't just look like twigs. They look like silver birch twigs.
Yes.
With the blonde wood in the centre and the silvery bark.
But I'm thinking, perhaps there's other ones we don't know about.
Yeah, the oak moth.
Because they're just so well camouflaged. Anyway, Sunta, but I was wondering... Yeah. If you could look like anything and camouflage yourself, and this is quite useful at work. We're doing work, rest and play for a work time kit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, for instance, if I could have camouflaged myself like a shop mannequin.
Right.
Yes,
because there was
good.
Loads of them in the stock room. Then I could have spent hours down there when I worked there. They're all leaning against one wall. If I could have just blended in.
That's a great one.
It'd be unbelievable. And no one would trouble me. Like, you have to think very carefully because if you could, say, camouflage yourself as a letterbox, that'd be a hassle. We would start ramming parcels in.
Yeah, and you don't want to be standing up.
No,
well.
right.
Ideally, you want to be camouflaged.
Right, well, that was the nice thing about being a mannequin. I could lean.
Right.
Yeah. And there was some on the floor, quite casual. You see, for a while, you can think, well, you know, I did think like a bench where people would sit on you, but then at least you're sort of relaxing there. Gav, what are you going for?
A Marshall stack.
A Marshall stack.
But just think of the gigs you're going to see.
That's fantastic.
You're going to have Slash standing in front of you, feeding back in front of you.
At some point, someone's going to try and plug you in, though.
Yeah, that's a good point. Very good point.
Let them try.
Very good point. Get it? And also, depending on what part of your anatomy you're using as the lead.
Good point, yeah.
There's no telling where that one could end. Sons, what are you going for there?
I'd like
a think if you like.
Yeah, I'd like to be out in nature, I think. So a shrub or something.
A shrub?
Why do you say that?
A shrubbery!
You could have all sorts, like foxes coming around. No, you might be... They might start plucking at the berries that your fingers...
Although if they're red berries, that should put people off because they'd be poisonous.
You've got to think like a moth. This is what I said. Doctor, think like a moth because he's gone for something that's of no use to anyone.
A twig.
Mm. Yeah, unless a bird picks you up and sticks you in the neck, which is unlucky.
Good point.
It's too big for a bird, so it's not going to use that.
Yeah.
See, I breakfast with my old mate Benny, who I've known since I was six.
Yeah.
And I posed this question in this morning. And he said, I'd just be a curtain. I go, why? I go, well, you just hang around all day. Which I thought was really nice.
Very good.
Anyway, 8 3 hang around all day watching telly.
Yeah.
83936. 83936. What are you disguising? Think very carefully here. Little Simon, I need yours. Since perhaps have another think. You've got to be about the same. So. You can't alter your volume.
No.
Oh.
No, you can't start doing that.
I can't be like an ocean liner.
No, you can't start doing that. You can't change the laws of physics in that way. You're camouflaged.
Really good one.
What was yours?
Roll of gaffer tape.
Everyone uses gaffer tape for everything.
Yeah, but
you're
mad. It'd be all the gigs, wouldn't you?
You'd be torn apart by roadies.
But you might just end up in a van.
Yeah.
But under a seat.
The forgotten
roll.
For the
rest of your life. I think that's the most stupid suggestion I've ever heard. And
a piece of gaffer tape that's holding up something important on a stage at a festival.
No, that'd be just... Because you get taken down after 4 days.
Thrown away.
I mean, I used a swear word the other day, but I'm tempted to drop my second one in my career. The one that starts in, that is... Because it is a load of... That's terrible. Genius. And I can't believe you stopped our Richard Ashcroft tune for that. No, I can't believe you went, I've got it. And I said, no, save it. And you went, OK, and looked really excited. And you got a roll of gaffer tape. How big's
it's
the roll?
Great. But now you told me I can't change like my volume, so it's
You're a full-grown woman.
Do you know what roadies call scraps of gaffer tape that are left at gigs?
Is it got anything to do with moths?
No.
OK, tell me then.
They're called gig turds.
Okay, thanks.
They're
Kev.
Everywhere.
All right, that's what you want to disguise yourself as, a gig turd. Is that how you want to end up, since as a gig turd?
You don't want that, since.
You don't want that. No one wants that. Let's move on. Right, Adam says he'd like to be a car parcel self, so I can just lie there and listen to Radio X. Good man.
Great answer.
Good man. That is a great life. So that's nice. What else we had in? Gaff.
Okay, so definitely...
I don't do any of the shower-based soap
ones,
all right? Because it's not the 70s, guys. Come
I've
on.
Ignored those 700.
Yes, especially one that refers to Maria Whittaker. Who are you? I like that lovely Linda, me. Oh, no, Linda. Is that the same person arguing the relative virtues of Maria versus Linda? Christ alive, you're unreconstructed. What have we got there, Gaffer?
Definitely a hippo, fat and happy, wallowing
you
around.
You can't be an animal. I've already told you.
Okay, Adam in C-scale would blend in with his van seat, John, and really freak people out and at drive-thrus and junctions with his seemingly self-driving van.
Brilliant.
That's a great
Absolutely
use.
Absolutely brilliant.
And then heated seat cover.
And they look... What is wrong with you today? What's wrong with you?
That's similar.
No, that's a cover. You'd still... You wouldn't... Do you, what's happened to you? A roll of gaffer tape. Maybe we could gaffer tape the seat cover on. You could sort of... You could be a few things.
Now you're thinking.
All right, okay. Bag of sweets. Right, here we go. A tip jar in a fancy restaurant. We've had it as well. Down in Manchester, thank you very much. Here's a good one. Go on, Gav.
Tom in Whitstable says, a drip tray under the IPA at the Boozer.
That's Tom in Whitstable. Simple... Sunta, can we trust you with this? Okay, go on then.
John says, I would disguise myself as a Henry the Hoover and just keep changing my facial expression.
That would really freak people out.
That would really freak people out.
Just occasionally
an
crying.
An angry Henry.
Occasionally crying. Okay, here's one. Here's one. If I wanted just to be left alone, I'd camouflage myself as Tottenham's trophy cabinet.
Oh.
Had to happen. Very good, though. Nothing wrong with a bit of soccer satire. The office water cooler, says Joe in Essex. All seeing, all knowing.
That's a good shout.
That's a very good shout. And also, you wouldn't have to worry about toilet breaks.
No.
Blowing your cover.
Absolutely.
You just let it out the tap. Right. That'd be the only giveaway.
X.
Hello there, Sue Perkins here. I've teamed up with the fun folk at the Lego Group to bring you a brand new podcast all about hobbies, habits, passions, and pastimes. It's called At Your Leisure. Pretty catchy. I'll be sitting down with 10 amazing guests, from comics to stunt drivers, to see what makes them tick when the cameras are off. So join us at your leisure with me, Sue Perkins, on Global Player or wherever you get your pods. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Looks like Donna Sinatelle just crept in.
Hi.
If we get the thing, you'd have the cat crept in for that. Really...
I would love that.
You'd love it. Little Simon's here. That's not really important. Big size here. That is important. Guys, I've read an extraordinary story.
Oh, yeah, go on.
A couple of your American tourists.
Yeah.
No, your American tourists. A couple of your Americans. You know what they've done?
What?
They've broken into the Colosseum.
What?
No, it's tough to break into.
The actual Colosseum,
they broke
in. Oh, right, not a cinema called the Colosseum or something.
Yeah.
Right.
They broke in because they wanted to fight there.
What?
Oh,
yes, they
wow.
wanted to fight.
What, are they reenacting the Way of the Dragon?
Is it where it is where the dragon? Well done, Gav. It is
Bruce Lee,
which
and
actually is a really disappointing moment.
Yeah, it is.
It's got that bit where Bruce pulls his chest hair.
That's right. Yeah,
and Chuck's like, "Ow!" And it's just really, you never think of that as being any sort of martial art.
That's right. And also, there's a weird lingering sort of both of them undressing.
Yes,
before the fight.
But you know what? At the time, it was a huge thing for beleaguered peoples of the world who were under the yoke of the Yank.
Yeah,
because they saw Chuck, who's the personification of like Americans.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's
tough
Bruce.
Guy, yeah.
Bruce really did represent every single ethnic minority on Earth at the time, yeah, and yeah. He took it on and kicked Chuck's ass.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, it turns out Chuck did teach him the art of everything apart from kicking, which curiously Chuck taught Bruce.
Yeah, he even had his own jeans just for kicking.
Yeah, he did have kicking jeans. Anyway, these tourists didn't do that. I just thought I'd spice it up a bit. They didn't break into a fire at all.
Oh, no.
No, I'd hope they break just to prowl the corridors.
Yeah. I was kind of admiring them.
Yeah, I was as well. I was as well. But at least they got a bargain. Ladies and gentlemen, they're aged 24 and 25. Mm. They climbed into the second ring of the ancient arena.
Yeah.
And they broke in. The second bit, to drink a beer.
Oh, right, yeah.
They got a beer.
Okay.
And they just sat in the Colosseum drinking beer, and they were fined €800.
What?
Can I say, in Venice, that's like a bargain.
Yeah.
Two beers for €800.
Right, that's the
price.
You'd
break away, you're sort of thinking, well, I might just break in again, I mean, even with the fine.
I mean, the surroundings.
Yeah, yeah, right.
That's I like this place.
No, but I've been paid more. I've paid a lot more in Rome for kind of less. They got to keep quiet about it, lads.
If
I was the Italian authorities, I'd keep that quiet as well.
Yeah, it's a bargain.
Get tourists going. I tell you what, I don't know what I'm paying this for. If you break into the Colosseum, you get a fine. We could drink all night for €800.
It's a bit like the definition of the Roman definition of sitting on the roundabout with a beer, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes,
it's exactly
that's
the same.
What they've done.
That's what it is. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, since that is a tidy analogy.
Thanks.
Radio X.
Tell you what, we have smashed the back of this week, gang.
Oh, yeah.
We really have. We really have. I don't know if you've seen the documentary that's currently on Sky about the missing Michelangelo Pieta.
No.
This is the body of Christ in the arms of the... But it reminds me very much of Chris Jericho's signature move in WWE, where he picks up his fallen...
Victim.
A fallen combatant.
Yeah.
And breaks her back over his sodding knee. But that's what we've done to this week, guys. Mm. That's exactly what we've done to this week, haven't we?
It's done now. Nothing we can do about it.
Because obviously I had to change analogy halfway through because Mary doesn't do that to the Christ.
No, she's not Mary's not a wrestler.
She wasn't checking for signs of life and then over the knee
sure.
he went.
Yeah. And she's not, she wasn't known for slogans either.
No, she didn't have a signature move.
Nope. No, no.
I don't know what she might have done. I don't
know. Well, we don't know. She could have been a brilliant wrestler.
If you know what our mother's...
Yeah, the Holy Mother's...
The Holy Mother's signature move was, please give us a call. Mm. 83936, we'd love to hear. Also, if you know what Jesus' finishing move was, we'd like to know that one.
Her fans would have been shouting, Hail Mary, though, wouldn't
they?
Yeah,
they would have definitely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Full of grace. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Now and at the hour of our deaths. Yeah, right.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus would have been some sort of cruciform.
Oh,
right?
No question, there you go. No question.
Just waiting for them to tap out.
That's right.
In some kind of, okay. We're on the hunt for the world's greatest nickname, ladies and gentlemen. So far, we've discovered the two health and safety guys at work who look like brothers. They were called the Dukes of Hazzard. Brilliant. Duncan, who likes a drink and a bit of a tear-up. He's known as Duncan Disorderly, Duncan Ferguson was for a while when he... Actually, no, that was... I shouldn't go there because he was jailed for it. Mm. And the soldier who fell down a rabbit hole in basic training and is forever known as Alice. Which is genius.
That's so good.
It really is. Keep them coming in, 83936 or tweet at Radio X. Make sure you include an explanation.
Otherwise, it's just a name.
And that's so important. Mm. It's just been a year since we've done this. If you're listening to this now, you're thinking, I haven't heard this in a while. It's over a year.
It's mad, isn't it?
Well, time flies with the 4-7 thing. You know why? Because we're having so much fun. Aren't we, though? Look at the sun to now. And that could have been an hour.
Oh,
just in that glance.
Sure.
I could turn around a big side and go, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
You've been looking at each other for an hour.
I know.
And that's what it's like. Like Gav smiling at me now, that could be a day.
Just lovely.
Because that's fun. I'm looking at big little side now.
Yeah.
And that's
kind of falling
apart. That's whatever
apart
is
there,
the opposite principle to that. Yeah, it could have been.
Yeah.
That felt like a year. That felt like I should be moving on. Mm. Just in his smile. He's got the sort of smile that says, move along, there's nothing to see here. Put that down in what we've learnt, because we really have learnt that.
Sure.
But little size, got the sort of smile that says, move on, there's nothing to see here, and never will be.
Sure.
And then put in brackets, a culture of bullying. Right, keep them coming in. 83936, like I say. Right, Dr. St. Templeton, you've got one from Richard. Go on.
Richard in Durham says, there's a bloke at work with the surname Needham. He's been here for 18 years.
Wow.
And nobody really knows what he does. So he's affectionately known as Dewey. As in, Dewey Needham.
Dewey Needham. Genius.
That's very nice.
That's genius.
Does is he Dewey? Know that?
Yeah, Dewey.
Do they call it to his face?
Yeah, I bet brilliant. They do, yeah.
Okay. Look, why is little Si looking down?
A culture of bullying.
Who? Dewey Williams. The answer is yes, we blooming well do, Simon. We're only joking.
Nice job.
Gav, what do you got?
Jamie in Stoke says, we have a lad at work called Lee Michael. When someone pointed out, it sounds a bit like Le Michael. He's now known as French Mike.
No. Do you know what? One of the best ones we ever had. Who is it who's nicknamed? He French once went to Singapore Mike. And he was called...
Yeah, what was he called?
He was called Hong Kong Steve.
That's right.
Because he once went to Singapore.
For 30 years ago.
For 30 years ago, yeah. And he used to bang on about it the whole time. So they called him Hong Kong Steve or something.
Oh,
right,
man.
This is from Fergus in Oxford. Thank you very much, Fergus, for this absolute beauty. I joined a company back in the 90s, got introduced to key colleagues, including Jim in IT. A few days in, I had a problem. So I looked up Jim on the company email list. No Jim, no Jimmy, no James, nothing like it.
Right.
I rang reception, told them my problem. They put me straight through to IT. We chatted and, quote, Jim, unquote, sorted me out. Before I hung up, I asked him for his real name. He said it's Phil Hall. Jim is just an old nickname from school. I didn't get it until I looked at his email address, which included his middle initial, E. His name is P.E. Hall, otherwise known as Jim. How about that?
That's brilliant.
Oh, satisfying, isn't it? That. Keep them coming in 83936 or tweet at Radio X. Make sure you include an explanation.
Otherwise it's just a name.
Radio X.
That was our podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button now. You get the 4 till 7 thing downloaded straight to your device every single Friday. If you'd like to get in touch, email johnny@radiox.co.uk. Thank you.
Radio X.